Esther 7. Well, now finally Esther's got to come out, hasn't she, and make her request for the life of her people. And I mentioned earlier that I don't think that she was some great clever amateur psychologist, the clever woman who was psychologically manipulating the powerful king. Rather, she was a teenager. Most women got married pretty young, and she was a virgin when she married the king. She was a nervous teenager who was totally out of her depth. She risks her life to go and see the king without having seen him for 30 days. And he says, yeah, what do you want? What's your request? And really the request was, save me and my people from Haman's decree. But she has stage fright, I suggested. She was weak. And she just says, could you come to a banquet? Sure, he comes to the banquet and she plies him with wine. And he says, okay, dear, what do you want? And she loses her nerve and says, my petition and my request is, and we expect her to spit it out, and she doesn't, just says, could you come tomorrow? And God worked through that nervousness, because that night the king couldn't sleep. He looks in his diary, finds that Mordecai had actually saved his life and wants to reward Mordecai, so he's now not going to be in the mood for hearing that Mordecai has got to be killed. And, well, he now comes to the banquet of wine, and he asks her, well, what's your request? And she says it, finally. And we know how the story goes. But without wishing to do down Esther, I think there's a similarity with Nehemiah, because in Nehemiah 2 verse 4, he wants a favor from the king. And the king says, what is your request? Very same words. And his request was for the Jews to be restored to their land. But she doesn't ever ask for that. She just asks for temporary salvation. And in verse 3 of Esther 7, she says, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, my people at my request. Ezra 7, same words are used, only time outside of the book of Esther, to describe how the king granted Ezra's request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. But what was Ezra's request? It was for the rebuilding and restoration of the kingdom. And I think that she didn't go far enough. I think that really this is what God was wanting them to do, to return and restore the kingdom, as so many of the prophets had said they ought to do. But anyway, she doesn't quite get there, but she does pretty well, doesn't she? Because I would argue that she could have resolved the whole issue another way. There she was with Haman and the king, and they've been drinking, and once they've been drinking, she could have said, yeah, look, guys, it's nothing big, just a little favor. This decree about killing the Jews, I'm kind of a bit Jewish. Mordecai obviously is a Jew, but you know, he is not my blood father. My parents died and he raised me. I'm not his daughter, you realize that. So go ahead with your pogrom, but just remember that I am a Jewess, and you know, cut me some slack on that one. I'm sure, guys, you're quite able to do that. Yeah, sure, we can do that. And let me bring you the next, you know, the pink champagne on ice. I suppose they had ice, but you know what I'm saying. This kind of thing went on multiple times all over here in Europe at the time of the Holocaust. It went on multiple times. That would have been the smarter, secular way to try to get round the issue. But she doesn't do that. To her great credit, she says, we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish, etc. And she keeps talking about we, I and my people. And so she identifies herself with her people. She is not looking simply for personal salvation. She says, let my life be given me and my people at my request. So she parallels her life with the life of her people. And so that is really the sign of spiritual maturity, when you're not simply out for your salvation, but you want the salvation of others. This is why Moses could get to the peak of saying, well, okay, take my name out of the book and let them go in. Because otherwise, you can end up spiritually selfish, that it's all about me. and I want to live forever. And whilst that is legitimate on one hand, really, it's such a thing as being spiritually selfish. If you've got a real sense of the glory of God, you then want to see God's glory manifest and others to be saved. And also you see your connection with the wider people of God. I think that that is a sign of Christian maturity, that we are not focused just on me and my relationship with Jesus, legitimate as that may well be. We are part of God's people. Now, the whole situation here is rather similar to Moses' plea to God to save the people when God says, I'm going to destroy all Israel. And Moses says, if I have found favor in your sight, this is three times he says this in Exodus 33, then please don't do this. And so that's just what she says. Esther the queen answered, Esther 7:3, if I have found favor in your sight, then save my people. And Moses was seen as sort of the absolute acme, the absolute peak of spirituality and closeness to God. And now this young, nervous, not very spiritually strong teenager is, as it were, catapulted into the place of Moses, Judaism's most sort of revered figure. This is the whole picture, that you and I, insignificant people who feel our spiritual weakness, far too caught up in the things of this world, God wants to use us. He wants to use all his people to do great things for him, to save his people, to bring about his glory. This is what he wants to happen. And as I say, she is led to identity with her people. She has to come out. And her bravery is really rewarded by the higher hand of God. I mean, the king goes out into the garden and Haman, it seems, faints. He has a stroke or he faints and he happens to collapse onto the queen's couch. And of course, the king comes in and says, what? He's on the queen's couch? You know, he didn't intend to do that, I suppose. But again, really, his condemnation now is absolutely assured. So then they hang Haman. And again, Esther could have thought, well, you know, I'm saved. Probably Mordecai's going to be good. Let's leave it at that. But she's going to go further because, as I've said, salvation is personal, but it is not solely personal. It is about all of us.